My note says there's going to be a video here, so I'm just sitting down here waiting for it to come. I guess I'm the live video. It's good to be with you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I've been traveling the last couple of weeks and being in different churches, and so I haven't been here for a month, so here it goes. I'd like to invite your attention to the Book of Lamentations. It's an Old Testament book. It's a immediately after the book of Jeremiah, and I'll share some thoughts with you concerning out of this particular book. I want to talk about our great God. We serve a marvelous God. The older I get, the more I read, the more I see in the Word of God, the more I realize just how great He is, how awesome He is, how He provides for us. And sometimes we forget a lot of His provisions. I don't know about you, but some of you, I'm assuming that your memory is not as good as it used to be. Is that true for any of you? I got a few honest folks in here, okay? It's amazing also how I can recall things from my childhood that I haven't thought about in a long time. But God has the ability to put things back here and keep them back here. I often think, when we get to heaven, He's going to push a button or something, and everything we've ever done, ever said, every place we've ever been, it will all play back for us, and we will remember some of the things we did and how God has blessed us and taken care of us along the way. All I can say is my memory fails me at times, but God is good to us, even... we even remember some things that He's forgiven us. Let me dwell on one little subject here. When God forgives us of our sins, whatever it is we ask forgiveness for, He forgets and He erases it from His memory. The problem that we have is it's still embedded in our memory. And sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves of things that God has already forgiven us of. My warning to you is do not let those bad memories, those forgiven things, haunt you. Okay? Do not let them haunt you. Some people continually beat themselves up over things that God has forgiven them. Do not be one of those people. It is to your disadvantage if you do. In Lamentations chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at verse number 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your love, Your grace. Thank You for the time together. Thank You for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, You just still our minds and quiet our hearts for a couple minutes here and reflect upon just how good You are to us, how great You are. And give us a renewed vision of Your greatness and Your holiness and the way that You take care of us and provide for us. Guide us through this time, for we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. A couple things I want to share with you, the first of all, is that God is a merciful God. He is extremely patient with us. The first part of verse number 22 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. I'm glad He forgives, and He doesn't beat us up and punish us for all of our sins. He forgives us of them. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, God's mercy redeemed us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. He is willing to forgive us, forget our sins, and be patient with us. I have the privilege of living with Him right underneath my daughter and her husband and her children. She has, I claim she has two families, okay? She has like a 27-year-old and a 25-year-old. They're long gone, all right? But she has a six-year-old and a four-year-old, and they are very much all boys. They tend to, they pop in any time. The only time we're safe is after about 9:30 at night to about 7 o'clock in the morning. Any other time, it's just open season, run downstairs and pop in unannounced and come busting through the door trying to scare us. But they love to do that. And then I, every once in a while, I get in the flesh and I scare them back. And sometimes they get scared, but the little one always runs. He likes to run. And one of these days he's going to run into a door or something. I don't know, but he loves to run. But God's mercies are new every morning. And there's something very special about God in doing that. Psalm 103, verse number 17, but says, "But the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." God's mercies never ends. They're just continually going. Because he's so kind to us and so gentle to us. Most of you are old enough to remember some. I use a terminology that my best friend growing up's mom used. Some of you remember some whoopings. You know, they took you wherever they was and gave you some intelligence where you sit down. I can remember. I still remember. We lived in a house. I'm trying to recall two places. We lived with my grandmother for a while when they built a new house, and out back was a wild cherry tree. And on that cherry tree, they had the ability to have long, slender limbs. And I can remember them picking one of them and putting it in the corner of the house. And to me, it was about 6 foot tall. I don't know. It was taller than I was at that particular time. But that was back there in the house, and she took the bark off of it to season it, and she just kept pointing at, "You mess up, you go and get that." But outside the kitchen door of that particular house was a willow tree, and I can remember my mom using the willow tree, because the bad thing about a willow tree is that these things could wrap around your legs, and some of you have experienced some of that. I can tell. But I can remember one time, I don't remember what I did. I don't know if it's the time that I threw a green snake in the living room floor or what it was, but she said she was ashamed of how bad she beat me because she left great big old whelps on my legs. But you know, I survived. Corporal punishment was a good thing for kids. I still believe it's a good thing for kids, but you can get in trouble for that nowadays at the wrong place. But we serve a merciful God. Then we also serve a compassionate God. Look in the second part of verse number 22. "Because his compassions fail not." God never gives up on us. He is very compassionate towards us. He has a way of reminding us and correcting us along our spiritual walk. Just because you're 70 years old doesn't mean that God can't discipline you. Because in his eyes, you're children. You're not a seasoned adult, but you're a child. You're a child of God, and a child of God every once in a while deserves some correction, needs some correction. We need to be reminded that he's in charge and that we're not in charge, and not to do some of the stupid, selfish things that we sometimes do. And we all do, even at this age. We do some things that we shouldn't do. Psalm 86 and verse number 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and graciousness, long suffering, abundant in mercy and truth." I'm so glad he's long suffering. I'm so glad he's patient. But he always disciplines us according to the truth. You want to avoid some discipline, be a student of this book right here. You will learn some things that you have been doing that you shouldn't be doing. And along the way, you'll begin to correct yourself and help yourself grow spiritually. It is our responsibility to grow spiritually. I don't care how old you are, I think you still need to be in the Word of God. The only excuse I can give you for not reading this book is that you were never taught to read. And there's some folks that were never taught to read. But there's an out for you, and that's called a cassette tape or a disc or whatever it is. You can listen to the Word of God. Years ago, I was doing some visitation at a church that I belonged to. And I remember being on visitation one night, and I encouraged this man to read the Word of God. I said, "Can't you read the Word of God?" And he looked at me and he said, "No." And they took me back. I didn't know how to respond. And after I get out of the house, I finally realized he probably never was taught to read. And it left a lasting impression upon me. And that's been probably close to 40 years ago that he said that. But the thing of it is that we can learn the Word of God if we want to learn the Word of God. We can learn through preaching. We can learn through listening. We can learn through reading. But we serve a compassionate God that wants to teach us how to be gracious in our living and doing the things that He would like for us to do. Psalm 78, verse 38 says, "But He, being full of compassion, forgave our iniquity." I'm glad that his compassion does not run out. And he just forgives us of our iniquity or our sins or our purposeful ignorance. Sometimes there's something. You ever said, "I don't want to learn anymore," or "learn any more about that," or something like that? I have. There's some things I'm not interested in. I just give this example. I'm not interested in the music today's kids listen to. It doesn't interest me at all. I mean, that's just me. I go to some writing conferences and people write science fiction and other kinds of fiction. I'm not interested in fiction. I'm interested in knowing about the Bible and reading about the Bible or about people who live godly lives. That's the type of thing I'm interested in reading. There's lots of other things I'm not interested in reading. Many of you are old enough to remember classic comic books. I wish I kept mine. They would be worth some money now. But I read those because they were just a visual summary of some great books along the way. But I didn't read a lot of those books. I just read the comic book, if you want to call it that, because I wanted to learn a little bit more in that type of thing. But it wasn't something that interested me. What interests me is the things of the Word of God. And that's what I've dedicated my life the last 40-some years doing, is learning about this book. And it's new every morning to me. But we serve a compassionate God, and that compassion leads to forgiveness. And that forgiveness gives us a peace of mind that we can put our head on the pillow at night and go to sleep and not worry about anything. But verse number 23, the first part of that verse is a reminder. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded. And this particular verse has come fresh and new to me lately, and just reminded me of God's goodness. He says, "They are new every morning." Every morning I wake up, God's mercies and compassions are there before me. Just the fact that I can wake up and get up and walk, we're very fortunate. All of you walked in here this morning. That's a gift of God. To be able to walk. I typically walk in the morning or sometimes late afternoon just through my neighborhood. Before I walk very far, I thank the Lord for the ability to walk and the desire to walk. And just to be able to put one leg in front of the other is a blessing to me. Not everybody can do that. And not everybody has lived as long as I have lived. Some of you live many more years than I am old. But I'm thankful for every year that I have. It's nothing but the grace of God and the compassion of God that has permitted me to be able to do what I do. And we need to be thankful for all God's goodness to us. But in the last part of verse number 23, he says, great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to watch over his children. It doesn't make any... I'm reminded by just some of the actions that I do. It's my responsibility. I guess it's my responsibility to go to the mailbox in the afternoon and check the mail. My daughter has a long driveway, probably longer than here to the street. And by the time I get to I come out the back where we live and walk around front. And when the kids see me, they come running out the door and say, wait, wait, wait. And they want to walk to the mailbox with me. Well, I'm glad that I can walk to the mailbox. And I'm glad that even that's 2 minutes, those two kids and I have a time of fellowship. They don't call it fellowship. You know, sometimes they like to give me a hard time, especially on trash day when I take out the trash cans. Thursday night when I was doing it, the little one grabbed hold of the back of one of them and said, hold on, and it starts to hold on. I said, don't hold on when they're full, hold on when they're empty. So when they see me pick up the trash, empty trash cans on Friday, they love to give me a hard time, and I give them back a hard time. I grab one of them and I pretend like I'm going to run them over, and they just scream, you know, for happiness, you know, that type of thing. But it's a time of, they know that Granddaddy's just going to be give them a hard time, because it's a little demonstration of faithfulness. Well, God watches over us. I've never run over with my grandkids with a trash can, okay? Sometimes they think I am, but I never do. But they like to hold on to them, just give me a hard time about it. But, you know, God is kind to us, and he takes care of us, and he's faithful to watch over us. Psalm 89, verse number 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Part of my responsibility as a grandfather is to make known God's mercies to my grandkids. Part of your responsibility is making known God's mercies to those around you. That's part of our responsibility. You may not be able to quote scripture by the hundreds, but you can demonstrate God's mercy, how good he is towards you. Then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In our walk with the Lord, it behooves us to be faithful to the things of God and to let God work through us and be in us to show his goodness in all that we do. Our speech betrays us. You know, as Peter was denying the Lord on the last night of the Lord's earthly journey here, he denied the Lord three times. But one of the young ladies said to him, his speech betrays him. They knew he was from Galilee. Evidently, he had a certain, quote, northern accent as compared to Jerusalem. His speech betrayed. The way you talk says something about your Christianity, the depth of your spirituality. Just the word choices that you have and the actions that you have says something about your spiritual being. But we serve a God that tells us to hold fast to our hope without wavering. Because he is faithful to us, we can be faithful to him. God will allow us to do that if we're willing to put him in our life and on a daily basis. It's one thing to know the Lord as Savior. It's another thing to let him be in charge of your life on a daily basis. And we have to be reminded that sometimes we get in the flesh and get angry and demonstrated. Did I do that? I don't think I did, but I woke you up. At least maybe it wasn't me. I don't think I did it. But we serve a God who will take care of us. The fourth thing I want us to see is that God is the God of hope. And verse number 25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait on Him." I am so glad that He takes care of us. I'm glad that He provides for us. I'm glad that He provides for us in a special way. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 24 says, "We are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does the one still hope for what he sees?" Hope is something that we're looking forward to that we haven't seen or haven't experienced. I am looking forward to walking on streets of gold. I have not seen those streets of gold physically, but mentally in my mind, I can visualize them. I visualize curbs. I don't visualize ditches beside the road. But I visualize maybe sidewalks that where we can be. You can visualize your faith in the way that you talk, in the way that you act, and where and the things that you do. 1 John 3:3 says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, because I know that I'm going to be with the Lord, because I know that heaven is my home. I do not want to get to heaven and be ashamed of some of the things that I don't want to be ashamed anymore of some of the things that I've done. Some of the things that I've done I'm not happy about, and I want to do what he wants me to do. I think of times that I should have said something for the Lord and witnessed, and I didn't do it. And after what I've said in my mind at the time, I can do this later, or I can do this tomorrow, or I can share this truth tomorrow. Well, I never saw that person again. And I wish I had said something when God moved me to speak and I closed my lips. I've learned how most of the time, I didn't say every time, I said most of the time, when God gives me that nudge, I open my mouth and speak up. You say, what do you say? Whatever God gets me to come out. I went to the barbecue place up here. And I made an order in Brock's. And anyway, I made my order and I went over and sat down next to the wall. And the lady who takes the order and takes the money and all that sort of stuff, you know, we chit-chat every once in a while when she's not super busy. And so I invited her to church. I asked her, I said, "What do you do on Sunday morning?" She says, "I usually rest because I work till Saturday night, and that Sunday's my day off." I said, "Why don't you come to Salem tomorrow?" I said, "I'm speaking tomorrow." And she gave me the indication that maybe she would show up. But it was just an open door of opportunity. God just opened it up. I didn't plan to speak to her about coming to church. It just opened it, a spontaneous type thing. But I can guarantee you this, the next time I see her, she'll probably say something, "I didn't come because blah, blah, blah." But it was just a chance to plant a seed. It was just a chance to witness for the Lord. So when the God gives you the opportunity, take advantage of it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you." When people ask, be willing to share. It doesn't make any difference what your time schedule is or where you're supposed to be 10 minutes from now. Just take a minute and share whatever it is that God wants you to share, because when you obey God, God will somehow plant that seed and water that seed that it may, that he can give the increase later on. It takes all of us planting the word of God and being a faithful witness to bring the fruition of salvation to people. It doesn't make any difference whether they're 3 years old or 35 years old or 55 years old or 85 years old. Take the opportunity to plant the seeds and share the word of God. That we can give that hope that is in us to others. That we won't be selfish with what God has given us. God's given us a mouth to speak and legs to walk and places to go to share the word of God. It may be unplanned that you're going to share the word of God, but just take the time to share the word of God. And then realize that God is good to everyone who seeks the knowledge of the Lord. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, knowing the goodness of God that leads you to give out the word of God. God just gives you the goodness inside of you to share. It doesn't. You can make all the excuses in the world. I can't witness. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I can't. I'm not a preacher. You know, it's the preacher's job. No, it's not. It's our job to share the word of God and to share the hope that is in us. One day, you're going to walk on streets of gold, and we're going to walk together. But one day, those who we should have witnessed to may not be there because we failed to do what we were supposed to do. God allows people to ask Jesus into their hearts. I'm so glad that I was allowed to hear the Word of God. Now, I heard the word of God off and on from the time I was a kid until I was a young adult. And finally, God got a hold of me and wouldn't let me go, and I asked Jesus into my heart. But I'm glad that he was patient with me all those years along the way, and that there were seeds being planted in my heart and being watered in my heart by people that I associated with. And and God finally brought it to fruition in our hearts. Part of there's people that I remember, Mr. Pearson, my Sunday school teacher when I was 9 years old. I remember him being kind and compassionate. I don't remember a thing he taught us. Bottom line, I don't remember a Sunday school lesson he taught. But I remember his compassion and that he was really interested and a nine-year-old boy. My parents didn't take me to church. My grandparents took me. And I remember one particular outing, he took us to the YMCA beach in Virginia Beach. I'd never been there before, never been there afterwards. But I remember we had some sort of picnic, and we played softball. And I remember playing third base, and he hit a line drive to me, and I tried my best to catch it. And I didn't have a glove. I caught it right there and I dropped it. But he remembered that in later lessons. But what that tells me is that he was interested in me. He was interested in, matter of fact, he took me home that particular night and just dropped me off. My parents weren't there, if I remember correctly. That was that was the night that we had a big long porch and we had some sort of lounge. Thing. It was lounge. It was a weave type cane type thing, and I remember laying on that waiting for my parents to come home. And it was summertime, and they came home late. But I remember laying. God allowed him to bring me home and then put me there. But I never have forgot that. And that's been 60 some years ago. See, God puts those little tidbits in your life. And he uses you to put those little tidbits in other people's lives along the way. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Because people planted the seed in me, God gave the fruit, the fruition of it, years later. Your prayer life will outlive you in other people's lives. I believe I'm preaching today because of a grandmother who prayed for me. I honestly believe that. I had a great grandmother. I lived with her during my high school years. My parents lived across the street. My parents didn't want my grandmother to be by herself at night, so here I am. But her prayers followed me. It still follows me. And but see, God is good. The Lord is good. He knows those who will trust in Him. He knows that you will trust in Him to share the Word of God. He knows that you will do that. We live in a great nation, but we live in a nation that is in moral decline. This nation is going to pot, in my opinion, unless there's a major change in us. But I don't believe God is finished with our nation. I believe there's opportunities for our nation to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that this church has an opportunity to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe individuals in this church has the opportunity to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's not finished with us yet. And I believe God will use us. God will stir us. But our one sin of complacency is a hindrance to us. May we, by the grace of God, quit being complacent and pick up some backbone in our back and share what we know of the Word of God with people. It can be anywhere, like I gave you the example at a restaurant last night, just picking up an order. It could be the gas station. It'd be the grocery store. It's amazing how many times you can start a conversation in a grocery store. Everybody feels safe in a grocery store. I guess they do. And just start, you know, some of you may be standing in an aisle looking, do I buy this one or do I buy this one? Or do I buy this one? Every once in a while, I find a lady, and I always call ladies short, okay? I meet very few ladies that are taller than I. But trying to pick up something on the top shelf or something like that. And I'm able to reach up there and help them be able to pick that thing out. It's not a big deal, but it's just an act of kindness that they remember. And they may remember in association with the gospel later on. It pays to be kind. It pays to because if you being kind helps them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ, Christ will reward you. It takes just a little bit of effort to be nice to people. God wants to use us along the way. See, we serve a great God. We serve a God that's good. The fact that we're here today is evidence of God's goodness in our lives. May we walk out these doors and radiate that kindness to others. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts as we depart from this place and that we will do what you would have us to do. Say what you would have us to say, go where you have us to go, and be the people that you would have us to be. Would you bless these people, bless us, and use us for your glory, for we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to